13. How many of you got your Bibles? Hold them up real high. Hold them up there. Thank God, right kind, it'll count. Say amen. Now, open your Bible and go with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 13. Like I said, I've got to go there Tuesday, and they've scared. Isn't it amazing you can't hardly get an appointment with a doctor? I said, man, what if you're dying? Still hard to get an appointment. So they scheduled me, and it's been 12 days. And anyway, it's Tuesday. And y'all, you just bombard heaven for us. And by the way, I appreciate everybody praying for, that told me to come in when you prayed for my granddaughter. They brought her back from the emergency room. And what did they say, Mary, that it could be?
What? They didn't know, but she probably outgrew.
Let me tell you what I picked up on this. Ready? You got an age problem. The second thing they say, if you're young, you'll outgrow it. Nothing in between there.
If you're not.
You get that? Ain't that a sight? That's the general consensus. But I mean this from my heart. I don't know who all's going to be here this week. I know Brother Keenan be here. I think our preacher's coming down. For God's sakes, don't let him preach. He'll run to me. Tell him I said that. He always tells me I ain't got no sense, no way. But I love my preacher. He's an excellent preacher. But I hope God gives you a meeting that'll last and last and last and last till Jesus comes. Wouldn't that be great? And you know, how many years?
26.
I think I was in my middle 20s. Brother Grady Lemons in Shelby, North Carolina, to show you how effective things like this are, I want you to get this. Davidson Memorial Baptist Church used to send out, you come, it's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, right? Brother Grady, a lot of times, took money out of his back pocket to give to preachers. Just as long as you could get there, he'd buy you gas. He'd feed you, put you up. You'll never know how it influenced my life as a young preacher. It's that three-day camp meeting. So you don't know how many lives that you'll touch by having this camp meeting. You don't know how many preachers that probably may be right on the verge of just throwing up their hands, giving up. And for some reason, maybe, I could, not some reason, but behind the scene it was God let them come to the camp meeting and they got something to help them to go back to the firing line. So never lose sight of that. Say amen. Okay, book of Mark, please. Chapter 13, verse 34. Ready? Ready? Mark 13, verse 34. Boy, I'm glad Brother Bradley got right with God and sang that song for me. I do. Boy, he came to me. Thank the Lord. The Bible says in verse 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. If you got the right kind of Bible, it's got Son of Man. Did y'all see it? And it's capitalized. The word Son is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, plural, to every man his work. Now I want you to underscore that where it says to every man his work. Ephesians 4 says, we are his workmanship created unto good works. The Bible says in Ephesians, he says, working with your hands to give to him that needeth. Did you know anymore if you tell people that you enjoy working, they think there's something wrong with you? But I'm as dead serious as a heart attack. Notice now what he says, to every man his work. This is what went through my mind. Listen to me. Every man has got his work to do. But our day and time, this world system we're living in, they minimize a housewife. Say amen right there. They minimize a woman being a good mother. I told my granddaughter, which is a Kelsey loves the Lord, and she's going through a difficult time where the boy supposedly loves God. I told my granddaughter, and I'll tell you this, our day and time, character don't mean a whole lot. Honesty don't mean a whole lot. Or a decent man or a hard-working man don't mean a whole lot. They want a hottie. Not Kelsey, not my granddaughter. Now, she wants somebody that just loves the Lord. And I was trying to instill in her that if that's what God wants her to do, is to be a good wife to a man that's hardworking, decent, loves God, then your life has accomplished something. But our day and time, they minimize that. So now watch it. Every man his work. Now watch this. And he commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. Now, I'm not no great Bible theologian, but I know this. One out of every 25 verses in this Bible deals with the second coming of our Lord. In Revelation 22, he says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Our Lord is going to come. Look in your Bible. It says, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. So I begin to put it in mind, did you know we're to watch for Jesus to come? Did you know we're to wait patiently for Him to come? And did you know we're to work till He comes? Now write it down on the file of your Bible. We're to wait, we're to watch, and we're to work. But now watch this. It says, at evening or at midnight or the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly He might find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. Now this is the Son of God telling them. He says, I want you to watch, wait, and work. As of recently, I went down. There ain't no sense asking you. Now there's probably very few people know where I was born and raised. I was born in a little place called Crab Orchard, Kentucky. Anybody ever been there? Have you, Jay? Population, 750. Right slap on the Wilderness Trail. That's where I was born and raised. We had one red light and we shot it out. I'm telling you the truth. Now then, and I could tell you a lot about Lincoln County, but we won't get into Stanford being the second oldest town in the state of Kentucky. We'll not get into the William Whitley House, the only brick house east of the Alleghenies, but this was where I was born and raised as a little boy. My mama, my dad, my biological dad left us when I was 2 years old. He deserted us. We moved from Adairsville, Georgia. I was born and raised in Lincoln County. But we moved back from Adairsville, Georgia, back to Lincoln County. And we lived with my grandparents. Now, my grandpa was my mentor. I want you to get this in your mind. We lived right there in Crab Orchard. And it's gone now, but they had a big old railroad depot. And we lived here, and there was a road, and then there was about 7 or 8 railroad tracks, and then there's this humongous depot. Being a little old boy, 7 or 8 years old, we used to sit out there, and those men, they would kick coal off for us kids, and we'd get coffee sacks and pick up the coal to burn in the winter. Them railroaders would. But I was a little old boy. I used to sit over there. Now remember this. I'd sit on that railroad track, and I'd watch them trains come in there. And a little old boy, in this imagination that I've got, sometimes it goes wild. I wonder where they're going. This is my thinking as a little boy. Boy, you could see them sitting in those dining cars eating. And I thought you'd see how they was dressed. And I'd think, well, wonder one of these days, will I ever get to ride a train? That's a little old boy. I never will forget, we went from Crab Orchard to London, Kentucky, or East Burnside on a train. I never will forget it. But I'm saying, when I would sit there on that, either the porch, or we'd sit out there giving up that coal, the train would always be pulled to the railroad depot, and you'd hear, where's that railroad man at? And you'd hear them things that used to have air. And you'd hear them trains, and they'd be coupling up, get ready to pull out. And you'd hear this voice, all aboard. But I never did see the man. I'd hear the voice, be sitting over there, and he'd say, all aboard. And then all of a sudden, maybe a little past would elapse, and the train would couple together, and they'd pull out real slow. And I'd think to myself, we went back down there just recently. They got a brand new road all the way from Danville, four-lane highway all the way to Mount Vernon that couples up with Interstate 75. So anyway, it's behind. They've taken out everything. It's nothing like when I was a boy. But I want you to look what it says to every man his work, and he commanded the porter to watch. Well, that I'm talking about a heavenly porter. Notice in your Bible it says the Son of Man, this is a man taking a far journey. But then the Bible says, and to every man his work, and he commanded the porter to watch. Now, our day and time, a porter is not like it was in that day and time when I'm talking about a porter. I'm talking about a heavenly porter.
I'm talking about the same way I was a little boy, and that train would be sitting over there, and we'd hear this voice. He'd say, "Get on board." Boy, I thought to myself, thank God there's a day in my life, 19 years old, I heard that call from heaven. I heard that heavenly porter say, "Get on board, amen." And guess who got on board? Yes. I was wicked, ungodly. I'm talking about, I was not no alcoholic, I was a drunk. There's nothing I would do involved in. I'm not proud of all that. But to think that that heavenly porter, thank God, would extend a call to something like me. He said, "Get on board, amen." Thank God that call comes. I begin to put it in my mind. Go back, look in your Bible. The unfit, the unjust, the unlovely, the undeserving. There comes a call, amen. For all these many years, I've seen that call come to drunks and drug addicts. I've seen I've heard that call of God come. Hey, blessed be the name of God. How ought to make us jump up and shout and have us fail to think that one day God extended a call to something like us. I'd run, but I can't. Isn't that a blessing? Hey, Brother Jay, how many years you've been saved? 51 years. Can you go back in your mind? And can you think about that day that God extended a call to you? Do you know where you was at when God extended the call? How about you, Brother Lawrence? I was sitting on a pew in a little old storefront building in Lockton, Ohio. Wicked, ungodly, nothing I wouldn't do. And to think, Brother Noble, that God extended a call to something like me. Isn't that wonderful, thank God? Amen. Sitting on a little old pew, a storefront building, and God extended a call to me. Hallelujah. The heavenly porter extends a call. He says, "Get on board, amen." Ain't that a blessing? Amen. I'm talking about this gospel train. He says, "Get on board." I've seen it work in people's lives for 40-some years of my life. God extends a call, Proverbs 1. He says, "Because I have called and you refused." Then he says, "I stretched out my hand and no man regarded." God says, "I'll laugh." He says, "When your calamity has come." But I'm saying nobody will go to hell that God has not extended a call to. You ought to shout and say, "Thank God that God extends a call." Amen. Amen. Let me show you this before I have a spell. Keep your finger. Turn over right quick to the book of 2 Timothy with me. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? Christ is just coming. I mean, we'll be as sure as the Word of God. It'll be swift as the lightning. It'll be surprising as the flood. It'll be secret as the thief. But it's going to be a separating event. Boy, but I'm telling you, it's going to be a shocking event when Jesus comes. But you see, meanwhile, Jesus paid the sin debt. But thank God. Hey, guess what? That call I'm talking about is for ever drunk, ever hearted, ever rebel, ever renegade. The Word I'm talking about is salvation for whosoever will, let him come. Isn't that a blessing? I'm at a call. Now let me show you this. Go to 2 Timothy with me, chapter 1. Look, if you don't mind, in verse 9. Look in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "Who hath," H-A-T-H, "hath saved us and called us with what?" Would y'all say it back to me? "With a holy calling." Boy, we're living in a day and time. Could I tell y'all something? Look at these little beady eyes of mine. They ain't nobody going to heaven. I don't care who they are. I don't care how many churches they've been a member of. I don't care how many times they've been baptized. They ain't nobody going to heaven that God's never extended a call to. I don't care who they are. And if God has ever extended a call to you, God changes you from inside to outside. Amen, preacher. What I'm afraid of, and I'm fearful of this, there's a whole lot of people sitting on church pews. They went through all this emotionalism. I'm highly emotional. Hey, man, you're an emotional being too. Look at me. Don't y'all look at me real pitiful. We are emotional beings. Did you know the same way that your body has to be fed with earthly food? Did you know your soul needs to be fed? Notice in your Bible, "Who hath saved us and hath called us with a holy calling." Notice it. "Not according to our works." That ought to make us shout. Hello, make us have a... Notice in your Bible, we're talking about the heavenly porter extends a call, amen. Hey, Brother Lawrence, have you ever been in High Point? Church I used to pastor. One of the joys of my life, I don't take a lot of... There's just not a lot of things that I don't... It don't matter to me. This is one thing that does matter to me. The church I pastored, he didn't have a clue what God laid on my heart. That's my wife. We had a bass section, we had an alto, and we had a soprano in that choir. And the auditorium would probably seat around 500. We used to run around 400. Don't you listen to this? One of the joys of my life was to sit where Brother Lawrence and the choir would assemble. And I mean, we had a big choir, that's my wife. Boy, and I look back and I think about them little, them women that used to sell their bodies on down on Carthage and walk down Vine Street. And now they're singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It ain't no wonder I'd come unglued. I'd sit there, Brother Lawrence, and I'd look up there and tears would be running down their face. I'd look over here in the bass section, some of them be waving their hands. They used to walk, sop drunk, and now they're saved by the grace of God. Why? Because God extended a call to them. Hallelujah. God extends a call, not according to our what, say it back to me, not according to our works, and watch what happens, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Boy, that blows people's circuit board. But I'm saying God extends a call. Say amen. Amen. Salvation is more than walking down a church aisle. It's more than shaking hands with a preacher. It's more than getting all emotionalism. What do you mean, preacher? There comes a time in your life, you come to the end of yourself, and you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the moment you do that, then God will come in. Somebody asked me the other day, we were talking about works. I said, listen, read the book of James. He says, show me your works without faith, then show me your faith without works. Amen, preacher Sisson. If it was works, how do you know when you've done enough? Honey, if it's a matter of quitting all your cussing, drinking, dipping, chewing, how do you know when you've done enough? Boy, y'all looking pitiful. It's not works. It's all of grace. To think that God would extend a call to something like us. The heavenly porter says, get on board, amen. And by simple faith, guess what I done? I got on board. You say, we don't look like much. What, he ain't done with me yet? There's like another one I know to my immediate right that thinks he's arrived. Throw some look at me. You're running around with bad company, brother. I'm saying, how many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you can say, yes, brother, sister, I know that there's a day and hour in my life that God extended a call to me, amen. Amen. The heavenly porter extends a call, amen. Hallelujah. Go back to the book of Mark and watch what happens. Not only does the heavenly porter extend a call, it says, get on board. It's a distinct call. It's a declared call. And believe me, you know the call. The second thing, did you know what? The porter I'm talking about, did you know what he'll do? Look up here. Guess what he'll do? He'll say, give me your baggage. I'm going to come back. The porter I'm talking about, when you get on board the train, he says, give me your baggage. Oh, thank God. I jump up and down and I say, hallelujah. You talk about a person who had a lot of baggage as me. Hey, and to think that God would extend a call to like me, and then guess what? He carries our baggage, amen. Ain't that a blessing? Anybody outside of me, do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, do you ever have a burdened heart? Have you ever had a burdened heart? Have you ever had just been broken to the extent, your heart's so broken? Boy, aren't you glad this heavenly porter I'm talking about, he can carry your baggage, amen. I told somebody, Miss Kathy, I don't know, I do know. I don't mean that in that kind of a fashion. I do know. I do know what people do that don't have God. They go to drugs and liquor. I do know they're trying to fill the void and vacuum. They got so much guilt and they're carrying so much baggage. But hey, thank God we that are saved. If this ever breaks up on your heart, there's a day and hour in your life that God extended a call. And then he says, let me carry your baggage. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's good. Blesses me whether it does y'all or not. He carries our baggage. Anybody ever felt like me, just felt like his absolute failure? Anybody outside of me, just absolute failure. Boy, and to think about this, that porter I'm talking about in Mark chapter 13, he says, I'll carry your baggage. Boy, that blesses me, thank God. Hey, I had so many old habits in my life. I mean, inside of me, I was so messed up. I didn't understand everything happened to me, but God extended that call. And then, thank God, that porter's carrying my baggage all these many years. He still carries the baggage. The third thing the porter does, guess what he does? He'll clean you up. I never did have, I was never had a birth. Not B-I-R-T-H, but B-E-R-T-H. The porter carries your baggage. And he says, he'll open the room, he'll open the door for you. He'll set the baggage on the inside. You go in and he'll start to shut the door. He'll say, here is you some articles to help you. It's not like it is now. I mean, he'll give you stuff to clean up. And I mean, hey, listen, what I'm trying to get you to see, the heavenly porter I'm talking about cleans you up, amen. Hallelujah. About to get excited, and I ain't even excitable. The porter I'm talking about, listen to me, that ought to make you have a spell. To think that God would extend a call to you. He carries your baggage, carries all your baggage, and then thank God he cleans you up, he changes, he brings you to your room, amen. Ain't that a blessing? Do y'all know, you know there's an old song that says, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Do you know that, brother? Thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. It says, my kids used to hide behind the door, but now then they got a brand new daddy. you know what? I want you to listen to this. I occasionally try to get right. Don't say that. My wife was having her, help me with them big words, darling, that when you're going to have in your alumni, ain't that pitiful? Why don't you just say graduating thing? They sent out this, now listen to me right quick. Mary lived up on Highway 39, a little place called Broughtontown. They had a school. Well, we were 8 or 9 miles from her where she lived, where we live. Crab Orchard, about 8 or 9 miles. So they consolidated all the schools. They closed the eighth, they only went to the eighth grade, didn't they? So they brought all of them from Broughtontown down to Crab Orchard. Hello. Blonde hair, blue eyes, look out now. So they said, Miss Kathy, they sent her a letter and they said that they're going to have their graduating class at Broughtontown. I got to go. This wicked, ungodly, Crab Orchard hoodlum. I got to go with her. So we went up to her alumni meeting. There was all of them girls she used to run around with. There's all of her friends. Now then, we leave Broughtontown. And we go to Stanford, and they're going to put a meal on. That's where we're from. It's called putting on the dog. Same alumni meeting. Now it's about 250, I guess, what he guessed that many. We go into this room, and here I am with my wife, 47 years, born and raised in Crab Orchard, Kentucky, a hoodlum. And this girl walks up to me, and she says, do you know what I remember about you? She said, before I could say anything, you know, we used to pick green beans, grab on a truck, pick green beans. She said, you throw mud balls at me all day long. All these years went by, and that's all that woman ever remembered about me, was I throw mud balls. Did you know that's what people want to do? They want to believe all the bad stuff about you. You can be living. I told a man this past week, you can live gun barrel straight. Do everything right, do one thing wrong. They'll remember the wrong, they'll remember the right. Well, aren't you glad God cleans you up? Aren't you glad God cleans you up? There's a whole lot of things that's involved in that call of God that came to my life. My wife's dad, for one. Her mom, for two. My wife, thirdly. A lot of things. My sixth grade school teacher had a lot to do with in my life. We lived on them streets. I slept in old cars and cupboards. Didn't even know what a home was. I was about 13 years old. My sixth grade school teacher, the name of Joseph Thomas Edmondson. Every morning of our life, he'd assemble all of us kids together in that tin room, what they call the tin building. I can see him now. Wore a little brown suit, a little brown tie. He'd say, bow your heads. I'd peek and I'd look. I was about half afraid to, but I'd do anyway. I'd look up there. Can you believe that man started out, he had prayer for every one of us every morning of our life? A sixth grade school teacher. Ain't that amazing? He'd come to town on Saturday morning. Ask my wife, that little old town we was from, you couldn't even walk down the streets at Crab Orchard on Saturday morning. There'd be so many people. I hated to see him come to town with a passion. He'd come to me and he'd say, Mel, don't waste your life. I'm praying for you. Boy, I hated to see him come. Not only did he do that, not only did he do me that, he done all that. I mean, he would witness to anybody. Years went by. I got saved when I was 19. God called me to preach in my middle 20, in my 20s. First thing I done is I went back to my hometown. Asked my wife and I rented the building, the school building. Everybody came. Everybody. I mean, you asked her, everybody come. Hear me preach. Miss Grace came. Brother Joe Tom's, my sixth grade school teacher's wife came. Had the services over. She said, would you and Miss Mary come tomorrow and have a meal with us? Joe had died. We went down there to eat with her. Bless her heart. And you talk about a gracious lady. It was Miss Grace Edmondson. We got ready to get ready to leave. And she said, preacher, I want you to go back there. She said, I want you. She always called me male. I'm sorry. She called me male. She said, I want you to go back there and I want you to get any and all of Joe Tom's books. So I was very reluctant to do it, even though I wanted them bad. She said, he would want you to have them. Go back there and just pick out any books by you, any books you want. L.R. Scarborough, Lynn Broughton, the old preachers in years gone by, a lot of things by G. Campbell Morgan and a whole lot of things by Spurgeon. I picked them books up and I cried. I put them in a box. I've still got them. They ain't enough money. They ain't enough money in 14 counties to buy them books. Let me tell you why. Had the most meticulous handwriting of any man you ever met in your life. He carried little index cards about this big. I've still got them. They ain't enough money. They ain't enough money because he thought enough of me. I'd open them books up and inside of those books would be index cards. He'd say, I seen Benny today. God help me to pray for Benny. Most meticulous handwriting. I seen Keith today. God help me to pray for Benny. I pray for Keith. And I've got the card where he said, I seen Mel today. Help me to pray for Mel. Whew. Lord, if we had sixth grade school teachers like that in this day and time, say amen. But I'm saying, hey, it was a result of God calling me and then God doing what? Cleaning me up, amen. See, I believe this. I believe the heavenly porter cleans you up. I believe God cleans you. A man asked me this past week. And I knew where he was going with this thing. Sometimes they try to crucify me. And sometimes I'm very reluctant to let them nail me. You'll get that in a minute. He said, I want you to tell me something. He said, I heard you on the radio. He said, you said. I said, did you hear what I said before I said that? Well, what did you say? I said, well, you didn't must have been paying too much attention. He said, you said that no homosexual could be saved. That's what he said. I said, sir, 1 Corinthians 6 says, such were some of you. But ye are washed and you are sanctified, you are justified. It says, such were some of you. Talking about effeminate. I said, I believe God can save them. But I said, I believe there's a line that when they cross that line, God gives them over to reprobate man. I said, I don't think you heard all I said. Amen. What I'm saying is, if God saves them, God will clean them up. Their lifestyle will be changed. Amen. A drunk, God changes his lifestyle. Amen. A good moral people. What I'm saying is, the heavenly porter cleans you up. Amen. Some of y'all ought to shout, knowing, thank God, one day God changed you. So he calls, get on board, and then he carries the baggage, but then thank God he carries you. He cleans you up. He gives you what you need to clean you up. And guess what he did? In years gone by, my grandpa used to do this. Still hung with me. My grandpa would say you can tell a whole lot about a character of a man by the shoes he wears. Look at y'all's faces. In years gone by, they used to. One of the characteristics, they'd look at a man if his shoes was polished. The porter would always say, give me your shoes. They didn't have black top and concrete everywhere. A lot of it was dusty. So guess what the porter would do? He would buff your shoes off for you. Make you look presentable. Whether you are or not. You get this in a minute. I'm talking about the heavenly porter. He cleans you up. He gives you everything you need to clean you up. Now guess what? Now go on, let me show you this. Now watch this. Hurry a little further. This what he does. Did you know what he does? He comes into your room and he'll bring you pillows and blankets. You're tired. You need to rest. Matthew 11, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labors and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Don't y'all know what I'm talking about? The heavenly porter, he brings you not only what you need to clean you up, but then he brings everything you need to comfort you. Anything I can do for you? Can I bring you? Now, I know what's going through your mind. Listen to me. Don't cloud up the water. We're talking about the heavenly porter. He brings everything you need to comfort you. Amen. But let me tell you what. You guess what he does? There's a button inside that room. He says, if you need me, I'm always on call 24/7. I'm always on duty. Just push the button. Y'all could get a little excited. He just says, push the button. I'm on call 24/7. While you're laying in there sleeping and while you're laying in there all comfort in your bed, guess what? The heavenly porter, he's attending to your every need.
Yes, sir.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Hallelujah! Thank God. Gives you what he needs to comfort you. But then he says, I'm always on duty. You know, everybody's astounded, or they say they're astounded. When I was going to undergo this open heart surgery, I didn't understand everything that's happened to me. I'd been with lots of people over 30-some years that's had heart surgery, but I did not have a clue that it's happened to me. Do you know what they do? They take your heart out of your chest and stop it. Set it over here. Replace the aortic valve. Then they put the heart back in your chest and they start it up. I wonder, hey, Nobi. I just could not wait to do that. Just slipped out, I'm sorry. Brother Noble, I'll take it all back. Do you think I was, when they're going to cut me straight down through here to all the way to my navel. I got a 30-some inch cut from there all the way up to here. I'm cut here, back way. Do you think I was sitting there wondering, I wonder if the stock market would be up or down tomorrow? I wonder if that car was washed. I wonder if y'all want. I wonder, did I pay my electric bill? No. I doubt that very seriously. That doctor said, well, you seem to have no apprehension. Big word for worry. What I'm saying is, if my heavenly porter's on call 24/7 and he watches over me and looks after me, why should I worry to the point of just throwing my hand? Now, don't look at me like that. There's a difference between worry and concern. Amen, preacher. But I'm saying, when it ever dawns on you that our heavenly porter is looking after you 24/7, forget what this. Me and Jay and Brother Don can relate to it. I doubt Don can. He'd probably sleep on a rock. He's like my wife, Brother Larry. Sometimes I'd like to choke her, poison her, divorce her, kill her, whole nine yards. We'll go in there and get ready to go to bed. She'll sit down on that bed. And when her head hits the pillow, just like that, she can just turn it off. I'm laying over wide awake, thinking my mind's racing 500 miles an hour, hurling over. And the next morning I say, you went to sleep just like that. She said, you get your heart right, you can do that. But you go to bed of a night, you close your eyes, you're more closer to death than you've ever been in your life. Perk up. You're totally unaware of your surroundings. Now, are you afraid to go to sleep? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever just put it in your mind that your heavenly porter watches over you? Ain't that a blessing? They tell me that you get my age. Everybody thinks I'm ancient. They tell me when you get my age that you don't need as much sleep as you used to. Don't you go there, Jay. What time did you tell me you got up, Brother James? 4:30? Ain't that pitiful? Says he give his beloved sleep, so you better try that verse. Me too. 3:20, my eyes just spring open like they're spring-loaded. I'm just wide awake. Do you ever get mad at yourself? Why am I awake? Then you can't go back to sleep. Now, I'm the kind of person, if I wake up, I can't go back to sleep to save my life. She can. She can sleep on a rock pile. I'm trying to get you to see that our porter looks after us. You're totally unaware of your surroundings. There could be somebody standing over top of you, fixing to cut your throat, and you'd be totally unaware of it. Have you ever just thought about it? But our porter, he's always on duty 24/7. And nothing can happen to me without his knowledge. That's one of the greatest truths I ever got a hold of in my personal life. That there's nothing can happen to me without the knowledge of God. Nothing. Go back to Mark, please, chapter 13. I want you to write this down. This heavenly porter, thank God he calls, get on board. That ought to excite you. That ought to enthuse you. Amen. To know there's a day in life when he says, get on board. Amen. Get on board, amen. And then secondly, he carries your baggage, amen. Third thing, did he know he cleans you up? The fourth thing, he comforts you, brings everything you need that you might rest. Anybody outside me ever just been bone tired? I mean bone tired. The doctor told me, he said, them 13, 14 hour drives that you drive are over. I used to do that. Brother Jim's wife, what was her name? Brother Jim? McGough. McGough. She used to fuss at me every time I'd come to Grace. She'd fuss at me. Bless her heart, I loved her. I'd leave Somerset. And that's when they had all them toll roads, them toll booths. Y'all know what I mean? Yeah. From here to Somerset? I hated every one of them. I shouted now every time I pass one, I have a spell. But I'd leave Somerset and I'd come down here, drive 3 or 4 hours, whatever it is. And it'd get daylight, be nobody on the parkway except me. I'd read. Miss McGall would say, you ain't got no business doing that. There ain't nobody except me on the interstate. But she'd just fuss at me. She'd say, you ain't got no business trying to read and drive. She told the truth. I know that, but I there's something I wanted to read. I'd read it. I still do it. Don't y'all look at me like that. All these years I've been in evangelism, I don't know how many cars I've wore out. I don't know how many trucks, campers I've wore out. I've not put a dent on a car. Must be a pretty good... No, I ain't a good driver. Now I got a porter. In fact, my guardian angel says, get out of the way. Here he comes, amen. Amen. I'm talking about how he watches over us. I ought to write a book. It wouldn't mean nothing in it, but I ought to write it. Talking about experiences in 28, 29 years I've been an evangelist, whatever. I was coming one night. I left High Point, North Carolina. Been gone for 8 or 10 days. Wanted to come home so bad. I left Asheville coming through what they call the Gorge. You ever went through there, the Interstate 40? Done it hundreds of times over the years. I'd always be up way up in the morning. I'd be listening to Maze Jackson, the truck driver special. I'd always listen to Maze every bit 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It ain't like it is now. Now then, they've got, it says, no trucks allowed in this lane. I don't know if y'all been through there or not. I've seen more wrecks in that gorge than any place in the whole United States. I was coming through there, and I was riding right side by side a truck, that had a whole bunch of small dumpsters, probably 400 or 500 pound dumpsters. I was right beside him. This, I don't know what it is, it's a phobia or what it is, has to be God. All of a sudden, this overwhelming has come over me to get around him. I nailed that Buick. Anybody drives 3800 Buick knows they'll run. I nailed that Buick, and as soon as I got around him, all of a sudden, dumpsters went everywhere. I mean, all over Interstate 40. I speeded up as hard as I could, got up there, pulled off the side of the road. He pulled off the side of the road. Can you believe me and him got out there and pushed dumpsters off the road, and nobody got hit on Interstate 40? It didn't dawn on me till I got back in my car and got down the road. That's my heavenly porter. One night I left Lynchburg, Virginia, coming home. I know where every good coffee place is on the 81. It was drizzling rain. There's a truck pulling double. on Interstate 81 coming south. A van right behind him and me right behind the van. I just got an overwhelmingness inside of me. Boy, I thought, I'd love to have a good cup of coffee. I just pulled off the interstate, got it, went to a McDonald's, got me a cup of coffee, got right back on the interstate. I didn't get 8 or 10 miles down the road, and that van, the truck that's pulling piggyback, he had jackknifed, and that van went right up underneath him. Just me, the van, and that truck driver. I got up, parked that Buick. The guy was, and I felt for a pulse, and I knew he was dead. We went around to the passenger side, and this man was pinned. And all of a sudden, a helicopter come, and them big lights right over top of us. All of a sudden, every EMI people come from everywhere. And us trying to help that man in that van. And that the EMI, the state trooper said, "Is that your car?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Was you involved in the wreck?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Did you witness the accident?" I said, "No." He said, "Then you need to leave." I got back in that Buick, and God is my witness. I didn't hardly get in that car till cold chills just come out all over me. That if I had not got off that interstate and went in that McDonald's, I'd have been right in the middle of it. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I mean, hey, our heavenly porter looks after us. Amen. Got that button. He says, "I'm always on duty." Some of y'all might need to push the button. Amen, preacher. He's always on call. Anybody outside me, just sometimes you like to just throw your hands up and you don't know what to do? Did you know sometimes that's a good time, good way to get? Me and my wife, we've got them children and them grandchildren. Do you know kids will drive you crazy? They'll drive you crazy. I told my wife, I said, "Let's give them the house. Let's take the refrigerator and leave." Kids will drive you crazy. If you love them and you care about them, they'll drive you crazy. Sometimes you just feel, I don't know what to do with that boy. I don't know what to do with my grandson. I don't know what to do with my granddaughter. Sometimes I guarantee you she feels that way about me. But isn't it a blessing to have a heavenly porter that's always there if you ever need your broken heart? He carries your baggage. Boy, I'm thankful that he came to me. I want us to stand and bow our heads and close our eyes.